The first thing that he wants to know is about the members of that household who were at the house on the census night. And they would like to know the members who were present and the members who were not present.
What about those, let's say, kids who might be in school, kids who might be in university who are not present at that house but are members of the household? How does that work?
Usually it's timed in such a way that they will be home. But if they are not at home, still there are means of counting them in those institutions where they are. Because there is no place that is not going to be visited during this census period.
What are some of the other questions people should expect to be asked during this process?
All they need are all the members of the household who were present on the census night. And they would also like to know their date of birth. They would also like to know if there was death within the household. They would also like to know the employment status of all the household members, those who are eligible for those questions, their occupation and their level of education. And for people who were born after 1980, they will also expect, if you are not sure of the date of birth, you can use your birth certificate, your identity. But for those who were born before 80, usually they don't expect you to provide a birth certificate or an identity. Because it's believed that if you don't know your date of birth by head, it's most likely that what you have on the registration document might not also be correct.
If you are not present at your house in the coming days, how does this process work? Can you visit somewhere, or do you expect that enumerators will return to your house if you are unavailable?
It depends. If you are a one household member, then it means wherever you put up on the census night, that's where you will be covered. But if there are more members in that household and you left in the morning, the information will be collected from the head of household. The person will be responsible for that household.
How can you identify an enumerator, and how can you know that this person is sent by the census?
Under normal circumstances, enumerators should have identity cards or identification letters that are signed and endorsed by the agency. Those are the things that you should expect. But also, you should also ask for the identity. If he has got an identification letter, it's not enough on its own. Also ask for the national identification card. Compare the two and see if they are the same, or then you can accept that person to be coming from the agency. I think basically that is that people should be free to provide this information, because at the end of the day, the agency is merely collecting the information, and the people are the ones who actually use that information. For instance, if people need a clinic in a district or in a ward, these are the figures that will be used. If there is need for a school in an area, these are the figures that will be used. If there is a need for a business center in an area, these are the figures that will be used. If someone is applying for a loan, those who give loans, they will also ask for the figures of the people in those areas to see whether you qualify, or the catchment area is enough for such a setup of a business. Basically, it is important for people to give all the information freely, because at the end of the day, they are the beneficiaries more than the agency.